Welcome to part two of our conversation with Jay Gridley about ghosts in the forest. You had said that, you eventually joined a group and then started, investigating and you were trying to discover, your own style and things. Tell me more about, initially, what you thought was right and how you were doing it.
I was interested in the openness that they had and the easiness they had talking about ghosts and talking about, going out and finding ghosts. And this group was very, very involved with private home investigations, which is what my group now, we kind of specialize in is, people call me and say, hey, this is going on at our house. We're not sure what's happening. Can you come out and check it out? I mean, it happens all the time. I had one last weekend. I have one this weekend. And so this was the first time with this group that I saw that was normal. And I was kind of blown away by it. And so I was very, very interested. I was very, very involved with the group. And so we would go on these investigations. And I would be, sitting there working to connect with the spirit. And I would start seeing things, that like some of the other members wouldn't see. Some would, some wouldn't.
Sure.
But there would be experiences happening all around us, whether, I could tell you, stories about ghosts entering rooms. I could tell you about equipment cases, being thrown across the room and stuff like that. And so, yeah, once all that started happening, then, I was hooked. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, this is the direction I need to follow in my life, and this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
And so that's when I followed this group in this group for quite a while. Then after about a year, I talked to the founder and, I said, is there any way I could be promoted up to lead investigator? Just because I felt that I already had it down,
sure,
which is kind of arrogant to say, but I had that feeling. And so he was like, absolutely. And this was after just a year of investigating. And so that's when I kind of started deciding what I wanted to see in a group and mm-hmm. what I wanted to, allow and be normal practices and what, kind of methods and morals I wanted to follow with it. And so that's when I started to kind of look at the group that I was in and see things that I didn't really care for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they were just a little bit too provoking. I am not into provoking spirits.
Yeah.
I deal with spirits like they're just a normal living person standing in front of me. And I would never, walk up to a person, get in their face and saying, say something.
Sure.
So I would never do that. I would treat them as a friend. I've always told my group, when you walk into a new location or, a person's house, you treat the spirit like their friend. Just like, One of the rules that I live by is be somebody that spirits want to be around.
Sure.
And then they're going to be more comfortable to approach you.
Sure.
And so that was the main reason why I left this group. I wanted to start, forming my own groups and finding my own people. I made some good friends in that first group though. One of them I made, him and I joined the next group together. And then, since then now he's a horror movie actor out in Las Vegas. He's doing very well for himself. We still stay in contact, but they opened up enough doors for me to be able to find other people and kind of get my own thing, my own ball rolling.
Let me ask you some questions about the provoking of things, because now that you've seen it both ways, you kind of started in a group where that was the norm, quote unquote. Yes. And then you've developed outside of that. What are some of, dare I say, the pros of that sort of approach and also the cons, now that you have the perspective of having seen both worlds?
I don't really want to talk about pros because I don't want anybody to think that they can go out and just do it.
And that's why I said I cautiously say that, because I don't really believe in that method, but I'm asking, were there ways that maybe things went a little faster or came about better, maybe not as good of evidence or experiences, but I'm just curious, what your observation is, not in a way of hey, go do this, but just what your observations were.
Yeah, a lot of it deals on the spirits that are in the area. If you're in a location that is known for having aggressive spirits, maybe spirits that weren't such good people when they were alive, or maybe they were, murderers or, who knows what, then the provoking, it might give you quicker results.
Yeah.
Or, definitely quicker results, but you're opening a Pandora's box of problems for doing that. You're inviting, you know, attachments, you're inviting being hurt, you're inviting equipment being broken, you're inviting a lot of possible situations that you don't want to have be a trade-off just for seeing something move, you know?
Yeah. And so, and let me ask you, let me ask you this too, when you're in that sort of a situation, are you more likely in a case like that? I mean, just as you would be with a living person or a human, if you're asking a question, to someone, you would, you know, you treat them with respect and ask questions, you know, in that sort of a way. But sometimes with the provoking that people do, you end up getting angry responses. Does that also then end up equating to a situation where you may end up getting things that you think are far darker than they actually are because you essentially pissed somebody off?
100%. Yeah, because when you're provoking, you're putting negative energy out there. You are being aggressive, and you're going to get an aggressive spirit. Sure. You're going to get an angry spirit. Any spirit that's like, you know, or any person that's like you or me, or you're like the average person.
Yeah.
Once you start provoking, they're going to take off. And the spirits that are going to approach you are the ones that want the aggression. They feed off the aggression. Mm-hmm. They want the violence of it. And yeah, and so that's what you're going to attract. And so the good spirits that, you know, want to talk and want to give messages from the other side, yeah, they're taking off. You know, they're going to say screw you, and they're going to take off, and they're going to wait outside and look in the windows until you leave. Mm-hmm. And so yeah, you're going to get the angry spirits that might not have been in that building in the first, you know, because once you start, because people talk about like Ouija boards and equipment and all stuff like this. Yeah, they're all fine and dandy, but they're just. I wouldn't call them tools. They're just stuff that people use, but it's your own voice. Your voice is what interacts with the spirits. Your voice is what, you know, brings the spirits. Your voice and what you say is what actually makes the connection with the other side. Mm-hmm. And so if you're talking angry and you're being angry and you're being violent, then that's what you're going to get in return. And it's going to bring you a lot of problems.
Sure.
And I've seen a lot happen over the years, you know, with people that are provoking. And yeah, it's something that I've never tolerated in any of my groups. Mm-hmm. And it's the people in my groups, you know, they don't tolerate it as well. You know, that's one of the things that we all agree on.
Let me ask you this, because I want to get to the area, and there's a lot to talk about here. But tell me about what that was like. You said that at some point here, in the not so distant past, as you've kind of grown on this journey of investigating and such, you had met with a Native American elder that taught you a lot of new skills and really kind of opened your eyes to a lot of new things. Tell me about that journey when you kind of got to that point and you started, you know, you met this person, you started having conversations, you know, how did that go? And you know, were you prepared for the kind of mind changing experiences that you had?
That's a crazy story, because I'm pretty introverted, and so I don't seek out other people, you know. And unless I'm in a situation like if I'm doing like a public speaking event or like interview like this, something like that, mm-hmm. I don't reach out to people normally. And so this was probably, I'm going back probably 5 years ago now, and one morning, you know, I've been toying around with this, you know, idea of mediumship and developing my gifts again, you know, trying to get back to where I was as a child. And so I would follow spiritualist churches in my area up here in Rochester, New York. And so I would follow them, and then I would see them kind of posting on social media talking about, you know, like mediumship development and, you know, come in, you know, explore your spirit guides, you know, and stuff like that. And that stuff I was just fascinated with. I loved it. But it was just something I couldn't get myself to do, because for me to walk into a room of strangers saying, "Hi, I want to, you know, join," I would never do, because I was just in fear of just rejection. I didn't want the interaction with people I didn't know. But anyways, so one morning, I remember I woke up a Sunday morning, and for some strange reason, I said, "I'm going today." And which is totally outside my character.
Yeah.
And so I went to this place in Rochester, and it's called, Plymouth Spirituals Church.
Okay.
And I went there, and when I went in, I sat in the back, of course, I sat by myself. And just the fact that I was there, once I got there, I was kind of like, what am I doing? This is crazy. But then I sat there and I watched, you know, the service. The service was fantastic. The preacher, she was awesome. You know, she had this great spiritualist sermon. Then afterwards, she came up and a bunch of mediums from the congregation, because that's what this church is made out of. Uh-huh. A bunch of mediums came up. You know, they would do, you know, they would do healings. And they would do, you know, messages. And I was just blown away. And then come to find out after I left that, well, actually after the service, I was talking with a preacher and we kind of got talking one-on-one, and she told me that, you know, she was doing this mediumship program, you know, from her house. And I didn't realize that that was her last day, and that that was her last day preaching at this church. And so I connected with her outside and then ended up going to her house, and we had this awesome group of like-minded people. It was, there was about eight of us in total. And yeah, we met at her place once a week. And it was just for, it was like an hour to hour and a half at a time. And yeah, and she would just kind of teach us more of the Native American side of spiritualism and connecting with the other side and how to develop your gift and how to use it for good and how to use it for helping people. And a lot of that was always done through meditation, mm-hmm. because the best way to learn is to connect with spirit and to get messages directly from them. And then a lot of the time she would be connected with spirit and she would, you know, give us messages from them for us. And that's where I learned the most. And I was only in that group for about 2 years, because then she ended up moving down to Florida to open up a church down there, a church of her own. Some opportunity came up for her and she couldn't resist, which I love. I think that's great. They're very lucky people down there for having her. She's fantastic. But yeah, that experience has taught me more about ghost hunting, which I hate the term ghost hunting, but about paranormal investigating than I ever could have learned otherwise. And I remember in detail, you know, having going, you know, into meditation, into like the trance state, and then just my voice just coming out of the air in my head, you know, and just kind of talking about, you know, how ghosts interact, how they are, you know, kind of survive like on a vibrational level, and how they connect and how they talk and everything like that. And that's what I've used in my paranormal career, you know, over the past 20 years to do what I do. And I pass that along to every member of my group. And I'm just very, very, very fortunate. I think that connecting, showing up at the Plymouth Spiritualist Church that morning when it was still outside my character to do anything like that, I think that was a sign that that is what I was supposed to do. I think spirit kind of kicked me in the butt and got me there. And I think that that was just meant to be. And I'm just so grateful for it now.
If you could look at that experience and say the most important lesson that you learned, and obviously there was a lot of important lessons that you learned there, but if you had to just pick one and say this was the one that made the most impact on me, what would you say that was from that that elder?
Be respectful. 100%. You need to be respectful of the spirit, and they're going to be respectful of you, and they will help you, and they will teach you everything that you ever want to learn, but you have to be respectful and be open.
When you are investigating, and you know, it's one thing where you're experiencing, you know, the sensitivity and you're feeling images, messages, words, whatever, kind of coming through yourself or some members of your group. That's one thing. But as we've evolved in time here, and, you know, investigations, you know, there's a gazillion, I just call them toys, you know, if you will. Yeah. But, you know, there's things, there's devices, and some will go far beyond toys. Some actually have, you know, quite amazing things they can do. What are some of the things that that you would say that you like to use that you believe make quite an impact or can communicate in or deliver information you know, to your group when you're investigating, beyond the, you know, clairvoyance and things of that nature?
Right. Yeah, there's two answers to that. It depends. Well, it depends on what kind of investigation I'm doing. Mm-hmm. Because my group, you know, we do a lot of private home investigations, which is one type of one style. And then there's a second where I do public investigations, where I go to, we have a lot of public buildings up here and businesses that are haunted and are known to be haunted, you know, and they'll rent out the building for the night to a group, and then we can go and investigate, you know, just the team. And that's what they're known for, and that's, you know, they know it's haunted and they're expecting the results of that. And so I use different equipment for that as well. And then there's also a third, I do a lot of fundraising events as well.
Sure.
Where if a building or if a business is hurting, you know, kind of like because of COVID or whatever, they're hurting for money. You know, I can come in outside of a program, you know, where I'll do public investigations. We'll sell tickets, you know, bring in, you know, 30 people, then, you know, divide them up, blah, blah, blah. But anyways, so that involves a totally different set of, you know, equipment that I use. But I would say overall, my number one piece of equipment is just the audio recorder.
Yeah.
That is the one that gets the most results. That's the one that gets the best results. That's the one that works every time. I have a EVP specialist named Larry Langdon, who I've been working with for more than 10 years. And yeah, he's my EVP guy. He comes in with the recorders. We all have them, but he'll use his and he'll do what's called EVP bursts, where he'll EVP session with us, you know, in the room for, you know, anywhere from 5 to 10 minutes at most.
Sure.
And then he'll take off to a quiet, you know, area of the building and he'll listen to what, you know, he caught. And he always comes back with the EVPs, you know, of spirits actually interacting with us. And that happens 99% of the time. See, besides that, I use spirit boxes. I use spirit boxes more for the public buildings and for the public fundraising investigations. And the spirit boxes, you know, some people are kind of hit or miss on them, but when I can recreate, you know, the results that I'm looking for, and I can get intelligent answers to my questions, then that's something I think is pretty substantial. Besides that, we use a lot of full spectrum cameras, which, you know, they record on a light spectrum that picks up a lot more than what our naked eye picks up. And so it's most likely you have a better chance of catching like shadow people or shadow objects or, you know, orbs, you know, stuff like that. Actual orbs, not dust or bugs or anything. But and then let's see, besides that, I like using EMF pumps, which EMF pumps are basically little generators that generate electromagnetic energy that, you know, goes up into the air, which is basically kind of like food for the spirits, because the spirits want to interact with us and they just don't have the energy or the means to. And so when you use like the EMF pumps, you know, that kind of charges them up and gives them a little energy boost to where they might be able to make a connection with us. Because I always, you know, ask the spirits investigations, you know, can you show us what's the easiest way for you to communicate with us? You know, whether it's speaking, walking with footsteps, knocking on something, moving something, actually showing themselves to us. And the EMF pumps, you know, they do a lot, you know, to help with that. I use trail cams. I love infrared trail cams that people use for hunting. I always have them set up on locations, you know, because they're very sensitive and they're triggered by movement. And I've had good luck with those. Like quite a few of the investigations, I'll have them usually up in a hotspot area, but then I'll have them up there when nobody's up going to be in that area.
Yeah.
And those work very, very well, because they don't have to run all the time. They just run when they're triggered. But then also the same thing along those lines is using like regular little motion detectors. I use a lot of motion detectors. Besides that, I would say Probably the voice recorder would be my number one.
Number one.
Yeah.
Sometimes the simpler is better.
Exactly. Everybody goes back to the voice recorder and the SB7 spirit box because those are just the tried and true, always good to use.
That wraps up our conversation with Jay. A thank you to him for joining us and a thank you to you for supporting the program and keeping us on the air. We would not exist without you. Until next time for the Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for your support.